Psalm 34 and the verse 11 is the text I would leave with you today. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Here's a teacher. Here's a teacher who wants to teach the children. Here's a teacher who calls the children unto himself. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. And the subject matter that the teacher wants to teach is the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That's the most important subject of all. That's what boys and girls and men and women even need to be grounded in. This isn't something that you learn from nature. This is something that is only taught by God and that we only receive from the Holy Scriptures. And so I want to speak about the fear of the Lord and why the subject is so important and why we all need to be taught the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? I want to give a definition of it first of all. The fear of the Lord is a gracious habit planted by God in the heart of a believer and nourished by the Holy Spirit through his word, whereby that believer is constantly made aware that he is under the watchful eye of a holy God and from thence is inclined to do all that pleases God and shuns all that God forbids and hates. Now, fearing God, you can see, is a vitally important matter, something the Lord is interested in. And therefore, it shouldn't be the occasional theme of a minister of the gospel, but it should be the purpose of all his sermons. Every sermon that the preacher should preach to the people of God should lead in some way to the increase of their fear of God. And every preacher, like David, should frequently be saying in his heart and in spirit, as if it were the bent of his ministry, he should be saying and thinking along these lines, come ye children, come ye congregation, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And so the man who expounds the scriptures, that's what he's doing. He's simply teaching the fear of the Lord. In fact, the phrase fear of the Lord is sometimes given to the Holy Scriptures, to the Word of God. And so David calls it that in Psalm 19, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And that's in the midst of a passage where he is just giving the characteristics of God's Word. And one of the titles he gives for God's Word is the fear of the Lord, and it's clean, and it endures forever. God's Word is clean, God's Word is enduring. So the fear of the Lord and the word of God are intimately linked in a union. The Bible teaches the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord can only be learned from the Bible. And any minister who takes up the word and fails to attempt to bring the people to the fear of God more and more fails in his duty. And so I want to speak to you today about the importance of this subject, the fear of the Lord. I want to give you some reasons why it's so important to study it. The Bible, first of all, has a lot to say about fearing the Lord. That's a reason in itself. The Bible has much to say to us on many things, many issues. But it has a great deal to say about the fear of God. Now, there are probably hundreds of verses in the scriptures which have a direct bearing upon this topic. Now, clearly, the Bible has much to say. And if the Bible has much to say about it, then we ought to give careful consideration to it. It's important. If it were only a matter of a verse here and there, then possibly in the lifetime of a ministry, it would just occasionally be touched upon. But if it permeates through the whole scriptures and fills up every corner of the Word of God, then we should be wise to give careful attention to it and deep study upon it, with prayerful dependence upon the Holy Spirit to sanctify our meditations and our studies upon the subject of the fear of God. And so the Word of God, not just here and there, touches upon this theme, but from all parts of Holy Scripture. We see that the book is filled with this subject. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, and it's practically in every book in the Scriptures. In the Old Testament, you find it in the writings of Moses. This is what God wanted his people to do, to fear him. This is why he brought them out of Egypt, to have a people apart from himself, a people who would live in the fear of God and who would display that they were God-fearing. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, we read, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." And so here's a list of things that the Lord is wanting to find in his people. But you'll notice that at the start of it, the first thing is to fear the Lord. Everything else flows out of that. That's at the commencement of the list. To walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve him with all the heart and with all the soul. And all of that follows to fear the Lord thy God. Because when one fears the Lord God, this is what he does. He walks in his ways, he loves him, he serves him. And so it's central in the instruction of the nation. Moses tells the nation, this is what God wants of you. This is what God requires of you. This is why God has redeemed you out of Egypt. And in verse 20 of Deuteronomy 10, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. And there again, there's a list. But the first thing is, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. And throughout the book of Moses, we find this. It's in the historical writings. And just to give one example, in the historical books in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 25, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. The Lord's to be feared. And there were many idols in the land, and Israel had to combat with idolatry throughout all its existence in the promised land. And there were superstitions abounding amongst the Canaanites, and they infiltrated amongst the Israelites. And there were a fear of idols and of false gods. But the Lord is to be feared above all. And we have it throughout the Psalms. And we have it in the Proverbs. In fact, we could almost call the book of the Proverbs a treatise on the fear of God. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Don't be taken up about those around you. Don't be jealous. Don't be discontent when you see the prosperity of the wicked. Don't let your heart be engaged in that kind of thing. That's not what the child of God should be about. He shouldn't be living in envy. All the day long, every hour, every minute, he should be in the fear of the Lord. And we have it throughout the prophets as well. Just one example, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And so here we have just a sample of these calls to fear God and the prominence that's given to the theme throughout the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it's the same in the Gospels. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ himself to his disciples. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So the Lord Jesus taught the fear of God. He told them that they weren't to fear man, that they weren't to fear those who even had the power to kill the body. And whatever power they might have to destroy the body, there's no one has the power to destroy the soul but the Lord alone. And therefore fear the greater, fear the highest. Fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So the Lord Jesus, he taught his apostles and he looked upon them as children. Little children, he sometimes would call them. He, as it were, fulfilled this verse. And he, as it were, is the one speaking this Psalm 34, verse 11, to his apostles and to his people, his children. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And the Saviour taught it. Paul was also focused on this matter of teaching the people the fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Do you see how important the fear of God is to Paul? We have the promises. By use of the promises, we ought to sanctify ourselves. We ought to purify ourselves. And not only to purify ourselves, but we ought to grow in holiness. We ought to perfect holiness and godliness. And the whole atmosphere in which this is done is in the fear of God. It can't be done without that. There'll be no purifying of oneself. There'll be no perfecting holiness. Even with all the promises of God, there will be none of this perfecting oneself in holiness if there's not the fear of God. It's the whole atmosphere in which it's done. And if a man doesn't have the fear of God, he won't be concerned about the promises of God. He won't be concerned about the purification of his life and his sanctification. He won't be concerned about his perfection and holiness. The fear of God is so fundamental, so important. What did Peter say? 1 Peter 2, verse 17, honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king. And so there's the different departments here, different divisions, you know, men in regard to men, in regard to your brethren, in regard to the king, but in regard to God, the one thing is to fear him. And the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. So here's this angel in the vision. He has the everlasting gospel in the vision. And he's going, as it were, calling all the earth and all the nations. He has a loud voice so that his message is heard. And what's the very start of the message? What's the very first word? What does God call the nations, all the nations and every man, woman and child and all the peoples to do? Fear God and give glory to him. So seeing then this call to fear God is universal to all men, to every rational creature under heaven, and it's given from God in every part of the sacred book, it becomes us to inquire into the theme and the subject, and to learn what it is to fear the Lord, and to instill in our own hearts and lives this fear of God. So it's important because it's taught throughout the whole, all of the scriptures. But then secondly, the fear of the Lord is important, an important subject, because it is the foundation of all right Christian living. This subject is foundational. Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's a foundation. It's the first thing. Our orthodoxy, our morality, our Christian living, our behavior to our neighbor must all flow out of the principle of the fear of God. This is to be the fountain if we are to bring out good fruit. It's the fear of God that gives heart and reality to our Christianity. This is the needful salt on every duty, every service, everything done for God, every sin shunned for God must flow out of the fear of God. And so that habit must be in the soul by regeneration and being built up and strengthened by sanctification, or else our works are but dead works. We know that Herod heard John the Baptist and did many things, but he didn't do it out of a principle of the fear of God. The fear of the Lord must be planted in us if we are to please the Lord and live the Christian life. Our living ought to be done out of a fear, a reverent fear of the Lord. And so this is why the subject is so important. It's foundational. What did Solomon say? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He's summing up what he wants us to learn from his book in Ecclesiastes and what he's learned from life. He wants to sum up, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, the very fact that he would say those words ought to prick up our ears. Here's a man who's been through a lot, who's learned a lot, who's been taught a lot by God, who's learned bitter lessons throughout life. And let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's he going to say? What's this man going to say? What are those important words that are about to fall from his lips? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So the subject is basic to live the Christian life. Can we omit something so basic, so essential to Christian living? Now, one cannot live in a difficult terrain without being adequately equipped. For example, if we send people into the cold regions of the South Pole, we couldn't send them there into that frozen terrain without equipping them. God wants us to live in the difficult world that we live in, this ungodly world, this dark age. And ministers have to point people to live lives bringing glory to God in a wilderness world. And the minister knows, as God knows, that the best equipment to be able to live in that terrain is to be equipped with the fear of God. This is the clothing. This is the vital equipment in a fallen world for the child of God to live in a way that will be to God's glory and for his own preservation. He needs to be clothed with the fear of God. So it's as fundamental and as foundational as that. And then thirdly, the fear of the Lord is very important in individual believers, also essential for the church, for their blessing. There's no blessing without the fear of God, either in an individual believer's life or in the congregational life. So it's not just important because the scriptures constantly call us to it, not just important because it's so foundational for right living, it's important for the blessings of the church. The problem with the church today and why we're not being blessed the way that we might be is because of the lack of the fear of God in its professors of religion. The church needs a baptism of the fear of God, and that would solve many of our problems in our congregations. And it would solve many of our problems in living in the midst of the world. And we would find that if we had more of the fear of the Lord, while we would have more of the attack of the world, we would also have more of God's blessing. And so a baptism of the fear of God would solve a lot of our congregational problems and make us a better people, experiencing more of the fullness of God. Fear of God, with that, backbiting would cease and covering up sin would cease and the giving of needless offences would end. And so the fear of God is central to the prosperity of church life. It makes a people holier and therefore more powerful in witness. Makes their light all the more brighter in the midst of an ungodly age. And so this subject is essential to the progress and success of Christian work. We're not surprised that the New Testament church, whenever it advanced rapidly and spread quickly and was powerful and a mighty body, I mean, just in a short space of time, how it spread throughout the world and how paganism received a death blow almost from the early advance of Christianity. And what made this such a powerful movement for reformation and revival was the very fact that it was characterized by the fear of the Lord. And you read this so often in the Acts of the Apostles. For example, in Acts chapter 5, we read in verse 11, "Great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women." Now the thing that brought this about was the death of Ananias and Sapphira. This intervention of God in his church. This teaching his people the fear of God. We read then that the fear came upon all the church. It permeated all the congregations. And even people outside who heard about these things, who heard that God is among his people, they didn't lightly join themselves to the church after that. There was no false professions. There were no lies and deceits to the same degree. And the people were more added to the Lord. Multitudes, men and women, were truly converted. And there was power. It all began here, whenever the great fear came upon all the church. Acts chapter 9, verse 31, we read, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied." So here's a description of all the congregations throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, practically the whole land of Israel. All these congregations are edified and they're walking in the fear of the Lord. They're characterized by a God-fearingness in their hearts. And they also have the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And they're being multiplied. There's growth and progress. Because God's people are walking in his fear. And they're experiencing the comfort of the Lord. All these things are interlinked. And you'll see at the very heart of this is the fear of God. Now this isn't a slavish dread. Maybe on another occasion we'll see that, we'll touch on that. This isn't a slavish thing, no. This is just a father-child thing. Not wanting to offend the Lord. Not wanting to hurt the Lord. Just a love and a reverence for our Heavenly Father. And for the Lord who loved us and who sent his Son into the world for us. A healthy fear of God. So important for the church to experience comfort and power and blessing. And then fourthly, the fear of the Lord is the best shield for young people who are embarking out in life. It's the best thing to shield us, especially young people who are beset with so many dangers. And the devil, as it were, wants to destroy young people's lives and testimonies very early on in life to make them useless and ineffective for God later on. And the best shield is the fear of the Lord. This is why this theme is so important. Proverbs 14 verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. That's some expression. A fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. That's why it's a fountain of life. Because it delivers young people, not to say adults also, but especially young people, to depart from the snares of death. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And so the fear of the Lord is a defense. It's a hedge. The fear of the Lord will put a hedge about you. Such a hedge that the devil can't break down and can't get through. You remember Job. He feared God and he eschewed evil. And he had this hedge about him. Not only about him, but about all that he had. And the devil saw it. He was a God-fearing man. And what did God do? He built up a hedge around that man. This hedge was the fear of God. The fear of the Lord. And if you fear God, and we ought to fear God, there'll be this hedge about our lives. And that's what young people need. They need a hedge. And the most important thing a minister could do whenever he teaches young people is to always harp on about this subject of fearing God. You don't hear much about that today, fearing God. The devil, you know how he wanted that hedge broken down. How the devil worked was he questioned Job's motives of his apparent fear of God. Yes, he seems to have a fear of God, but it's really self-interest. It's really just, you know, how well he's done in life. But you take all that away from him, and he'll not have any fear of God. He has everything. That's why he fears you, but you take it all away. There'll not be the fear of God then. It'll just be seen to be just so false. And so the devil, this is how he worked with God concerning Job. He questioned the nature and motives of his fear of the Lord. And he asked for the hedge to be removed. And we'll see what he's really made of. And we'll see the truth of that godly fear. The devil was proved false. And the hedge was broken down so that the devil could get in. But Job still feared the Lord. And every Christian needs that hedge, of course, but especially young believers, because they lack experience of life and knowledge. They don't know the snares, they don't perceive the dangers. They're more readily attracted by the world's colours, the devil's snares. Young people are just, in a sense, naive and ignorant. And the only thing that can change that is a fear of God. There's nothing else. And if young people have instilled in them a fear of the Lord, it'll be the best hedge that they could have in life. Which is why the subject's so important. It's throughout the scriptures, and the minister has to preach on it. You remember the heavy assault by the wife of Potiphar upon Joseph? How did Joseph overcome? It was by a principle of the fear of the Lord in his heart. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How can I do this? Well, what is that? That's the fear of the Lord. Obadiah, at the time of Ahab the king, he had a very difficult situation serving God in that palace, no doubt, of King Ahab's. How did he survive in that centre, in that place? How did he survive in the very heartland of Baal worship? Well, he himself tells us in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 12. I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. And that's how that young man was able to survive in that environment. A fear of God, it was so important. Another reason why it's important is it was a prominent characteristic of the life of the Lord Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 11, we read concerning Messiah. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is the Saviour, this is the Messiah, this is our Lord Jesus. But notice that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. He's the Messiah, he's anointed, and the Spirit of the Lord is resting upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So you have all these characteristics of Messiah, of the Lord Jesus. This righteousness, this knowledge and understanding. But you'll see here what at the heart of it is his own fear of the Lord. The spirit that rests upon him is the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And this spirit shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And out of that, flowing out of all of that, he'll not judge after the sight of his eyes, he'll not reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge. So there's this right acting, this right living, this right behaviour, and it's all flowing out of the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of God making him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord rested upon Jesus, as upon none other. It stayed upon him and never departed. And the Holy Spirit brought that fear of the Lord into his humanity, into his life. And though on the cross he was stripped of his garments, to the very end, he was clothed in the fear of God. And so you cannot be a true follower of the Lord Jesus and have no interest in learning the fear of the Lord. It's the thing that characterized him. It's why he was able to stand against Satan. It's why he was patient. It was why he was able to commit all into the hands of his heavenly Father. Why he always did right. Why when he was, as it were, reviled, he didn't revile back. He has this quick understanding and the fear of the Lord. And so if you love the Lord Jesus and he's our Saviour and we're disciples of Christ, something that was so central in his life, something that so permeated his life amongst men, we should want it to permeate our lives, and we should want to cultivate this fear of God. It's important. If you would follow Christ, you must follow him in the fear of the Lord. So this was a subject close to his own heart. And therefore, if we love the Saviour, we will hunger and thirst to be taught the fear of God. So it was a prominent feature of our Lord's life. That makes it so important. Of course, it's a matter that lies close to the heart of God himself, the Heavenly Father. It's not just that God commands the fear of him, but he desires it. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and the verse 29, we read these words, Deuteronomy 5 verse 29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Do you hear God here? He's, as it were, speaking out of his heart. And he's speaking about the heart of his people. And here's this appeal of the heart, his heart, to their heart. Yes, he commands the fear of God, but here he's expressing a kind of a wish. Oh, that there were such an heart in them. What kind of heart does God want in us? A heart that would fear him. And a heart that fears him will lead to keeping all his commandments. It will lead to blessing. It'll be well with them and with their children. For this is a wonderful verse here. It'll bring benefit. It'll bring benefit to the people of God. It'll be well with them. It'll bring benefit to their children and with their children forever. The fear of God is beneficial, as we've already said. This is what God chiefly desires, the benefit of his people. And this benefit, it flows out of obedience, keeping all his commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children. But the Lord doesn't just want obedience. He wants it out of a principle of the fear of him and the love for the Lord. That's what keeps everything else, everything right, that this fear would be in their hearts. And then out of that, there'd be the sincere keeping of his commandments. Yes, there can be the appearance of an outward obedience. But the Lord wants this principle in the heart. That's how important it is. Keeps everything right in the believer's life. So what lies close to the heart of God should be close to our heart and uppermost in our thoughts. And as well as God saying, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me, the people of God should also be saying, oh, that there were such an heart in me to fear him and keep all his commandments. So it's a very important subject. If it's so near to God's heart and he expresses himself in this way of what we would describe today as wishing. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me. Then it's a very important subject. Lastly, because the absence of it will bring to hell. The fear of the Lord is not optional. It's essential. You cannot do without it. And one cannot go to heaven without it. This subject is essential for the unconverted and the ungodly. The sinner needs to know that because he is not God-fearing, he's going to perish in his sin. So let not the person who rejects Christ and neglects the well-being of his or her everlasting soul just kind of sit back and say, well, this is a message for Christians. No, it's a message for all the earth, for all the nations. The angel went forth having the everlasting gospel to all the nations. And what did he say? Fear God. All the ungodly are called to fear God. Everybody needs the fear of the Lord in their heart. And sinners need it. Need to be born again. Need to fear God and evidence it in their lives by departing from sin and fleeing to Christ. What does Psalm 103 verse 11 say? As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Here's the high mercy of God in Christ. We preach the mercy of God. And it's great. And it's towards the sinners that fear him. And when the new birth comes, the early indications of it are fear of God and the need to fly to Christ, the need to be purified and to live a righteous life, the beginning of the fear of God. What does Psalm 85 verse 9 say? Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. The God-fearing will go to heaven. And the absence of God-fearing will bring to hell. Those who forget God are those who believe there is no God. Are those who believe there is a God but don't fear him are all going to hell. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is at the very start of a man's conversion when he begins to fear God and flies to Christ for the forgiveness of all the sins that he has committed against that God. So important. While it's there at the commencement, in the new birth experience, has to grow, it has to be encouraged, has to be nurtured and nourished and fed. And this is only by being taught from the scriptures. And so that's why our text says, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So important. And I've given you these seven reasons why it is so vital that you study it, that you reflect upon it, and that you pray, Lord, teach me thy fear for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.